Corey Day's NASCAR Path Begins, an update on Hudson O'Neill's new deal, weekend results, and much more. Let's go. It's Sunday, April 28th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. Coming up next weekend is the first big event of the year at Eldora Speedway, and that means another opportunity to visit our friends at the Whistle Stop Bar and Grill. It's located at just 7 miles south of the racetrack. And did you know they also have a sister business located in downtown Greenville, Ohio, called Sure Shot Tap House? Sure Shot Tap House is a 46-tap self-pour facility featuring domestic and craft beer, ciders, seltzers, bourbons, wines, and more. They also have a self-serve cocktail machine that complements their amazing food menu. You can venture upstairs to the Bullseye Game Lounge, which boasts duck pin bowling as well as 24 arcade games, making Sure Shot the ultimate destination to eat, drink, and play all under one roof. And new this year, they'll have buses running from Eldora to Sure Shot on the Fridays of all major events. So you can go straight from the racetrack to Sure Shot, and they will drive you. The trip includes a buffet, a $15 pour card, a swag bag, and much more. Visit SureShotTapHouse.com/events for more information on this great day trip. Thanks to the Whistle Stop and Sure Shot Tap House for their support of The Daily Show. So last night, around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Dale Earnhardt Jr. tweeted that Corey Day was at Hickory Motor Speedway driving a Junior Motorsports late model stock. And less than an hour later came the tweet from Flow Racing that Day had won in that late model stock. It was his first time racing a late model on pavement, and I'd say winning your first time out is pretty damn impressive. It was just 5 days ago that the young driver from California was winning his third High Limit Sprint Car Show in 5 races, and on an off weekend for High Limit, he was out getting pavement experience. There were already people out last night trying to diminish and discredit what this victory was, and there is context here to understand. It was a twin feature night at Hickory. They had 12 late models racing. Day started 10th in the first feature and finished 7th. And then they did an 8-car invert for feature 2, putting Day outside a front row. Talk to somebody who's really familiar with the late model racing at Hickory. He thinks that they were probably playing that invert game in that first feature. Day then hung tough on the outside at the green flag in that second race and eventually cleared the pole sitter for the top spot. He was then never challenged again out front. Was this a Cars Tour race of the Snowball Derby? No, obviously not. But winning your first night out is still impressive, especially when this was clearly just the first chance to start getting Day comfortable on pavement. Day's team was led by veteran NASCAR crew chief Paul Andrews, and I think there are a few things to take notice of here. First, I told you guys way back in January after Day won his prelim night at the Chili Bowl that he was already on the radar for some top-level teams and some big-time players in American motorsports. And this debut happening with Junior Motorsports is obviously noteworthy. And why is that? Well, Junior Motorsports is owned in part by Rick Hendrick. And I would not be surprised if there wasn't already a development deal signed between Day and Hendrick. Day was wearing a Junior Motorsports fire suit with his name on it, so it's clear this wasn't just some random one-off deal. With Jeff Gordon playing a significant role in the operations of HMS these days and Kyle Larson a cornerstone of that organization, the ties are not hard to find here. JRM has the infrastructure to bring Day up through late model racing, and then between JRM and Spire, jumps to the Truck Series and Xfinity, they would be right in line, not hard to do. And I know a bunch of you are going to bemoan this pipeline to NASCAR, and on some level I'm with you. I would love to see Day spend the next several decades becoming one of the greatest sprint car drivers ever. But when you're this talented, you're going to get noticed, and it's hard to turn that opportunity down. Day will be back in a sprint car on Wednesday at 81 Speedway, but I'm sure we'll see plenty more late model appearances, and there will likely be practice and test days we never hear about publicly. I would say let's enjoy watching the kid wheel a sprint car while we can, because I'm sure the days here are very limited. Before we move on, back on Friday, I did a Dirt Tracker Live on YouTube where I spent about an hour chatting with former All-Star announcer Blake Anderson. Blake is now working for Kevin Rudine and part of the staff at Skagit Speedway, and we talked about a bunch of sprint car stuff, including Corey Day, plus happenings at Skagit and a lot more. The full interview is in the Dirt Tracker podcast feed, and you can find it over at youtube.com/dirttracker. If you don't see it on the main page on the YouTube page, click the live tab and it will be the first one you see there. As expected, we did have a bunch of racing rained out this weekend, including both World of Outlaws nights at Knoxville, plus the full USAC midget weekend at Kokomo. There was obviously other stuff rained out as well. It's unfortunately just the nature of the beast in the springtime. There were some nasty storms in the Midwest all weekend, which included tornadoes. So we're definitely thinking about all of our friends in places like Oklahoma and Nebraska. With the Lucas Oil Light Model Dirt Series, their Saturday show at Hagerstown got rained out as well, but they did race Friday night at Georgetown. Ricky Thornton Jr. hadn't won a Lucas show since Alltech on February 2nd, but he broke that 9-race winless streak with a flag-to-flag victory from the pole. Devin Moran was second. Garrett Alberson went 10th to 3rd. The 9-race winless drought for RTJ was his longest since 2022. A NASCAR driver, Ross Chastain, raced. I said last week that he was going to be there. He was out early in a B-main. And Kyle Larson was in attendance as well back in the Rumbly 6. Remember that Georgetown track, not too far from Dover where the Cup cars are this weekend. Larson had a flat during the feature, ended up DNFing. And as expected, Hudson O'Neill did debut with his own car. A black and white Longhorn was 71 on the door and some pretty familiar sponsors. The new Hudson O'Neill Racing Team did a shakedown before Georgetown at Paragon Speedway and ended up quick time in qualifying on Friday. They were 14th in the feature after starting in 5th. Headed to Port Royal today, RTJ still leads Jonathan Davenport in the standings with Moran and O'Neill the rest of those top four, of those final chase spots. That racing will happen later today at Port Royal. The big late model show from yesterday was the Hunt the Front Super Dirt Series at Smoky Mountain. Nice field, 44 cars. Ended up being all Ryan Gustin out front. He topped Dale McDowell and Brandon Overton for the $15,000 win. Overton still leads the championship over Chris Ferguson with Joseph Joyner now third, Ashton Winger fourth, and Corey Hedgecock fifth. Gustin have never previously made a start with Hunt the Front, and it was his second win of the season that goes along with the Ice Bowl win he had at Talladega back at the very start of the year. Things have been quiet with the Outlaws so far with Gustin, just one top 10. We'll see if he can parlay this into more success. Hunt the Front's back next weekend with a twofer in the Carolinas. They're at Ultimate on Friday and Lancaster on Saturday. Other weekend late model winners included Zach Mitchell with the Carolina Clash. Ryan Unzicker won the Mars Show at Peoria. Mars is racing again today. Ben Watkins won at Cherokee and Josh Rice won at Atomic. Weekend sprint car wins went to Troy Wagaman Jr. Friday at Williams Grove. Max Stambaugh swept the USCS at I-75. Nate Dussel was a fast winner at Muskegon County. Carter Sarf won the MOA show driving for Chase Briscoe. And AJ Bender took the USAC CRA win at Paris. At Port Royal last night, there was a huge pileup right at the start of the feature, wiped out a bunch of guys. Somehow, Jeff Halligan ended up backwards into turn one, and the guys behind had absolutely nowhere to go. The incident also took out Callum Williamson, Steve Buckwalter, Lance DeWeese, AJ Flick, Austin Bishop, Gerard McIntyre. A nasty incident for sure, and not the first big crash we've seen at the start of a port feature this year. Some guys like DeWeese are now not racing today at BAPS because of this crash. Chase Dietz led a bunch of laps before losing a left rear tire, and that promoted Anthony Macri to the lead. He battled with TJ Stutz down the stretch, eventually picked up the $15,000 win. All right, that's it for the Daily Show today. Make sure to hit up the streaming schedule over at dirttracker.com/watch tonight to see your Sunday viewing options. Quite a few choices today if you want a dirt racing fix. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.